Folks, we thought it was time to check in on the border. You don't hear much about it because, for the most part, whatever was going on there ain't there no more. And Andrew Arthur, resident fellow and Law and Policy Center for Immigration Study, joins us as he just returned from Del Rio in Eagle Pass, which is along the border. He used to hunt in both places. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Nils, thanks so much for having me. It's good to be back.
So, Andrew, if you would, give us a state of the state of what you saw in Del Rio and Eagle Pass.
So, just to put those two places into context, Del Rio was the place where in September 2021 we had 18,000 migrants, primarily Haitians, pour across the Rio Grande in a four-day period and, you know, basically camp out and overwhelm Border Patrol agents. You may remember the pictures of people who were, you know, pitching their own huts, who were running back and forth across the river to bring food and water. And, of course, that was the site of the infamous whipping incident. And I put whipping in quotation marks when a Border Patrol agent on horseback purportedly swung his reins at a migrant. That didn't actually happen, but that was the popular theme. When I went to that same spot just a couple of days ago on Tuesday, it was an empty field, and there was nobody on the other side of the river except for a handful of tourists in the city of Ciudad Acuña. So it is night and day. And then when I went down to Eagle Pass, if you remember, that's the place where the state of Texas put concertina wire along the border and got into a showdown with the Biden administration that was attempting to remove that wire so more migrants could come into the United States. I saw the same thing. Nothing was going on there. It was an empty field. People were milling about on the other side of the border, but they were simply taking advantage of the beautiful 92-degree day. They weren't planning on coming across either. So it truly, Newell, has been night and day. Tom Homan, Border Czar, and Rodney Scott, the CBP commissioner, and actually Joe Biden's first Border Patrol chief, have shut down the border and attained operational control down there for the first time in history. And I've been doing this for 33 years. I never remember it being this quiet.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Are you seeing the utilization of technology? Are they beginning to deploy that down there along the border? And obviously, the border wall has been a bone of contention for a number of years. Have they restarted that effort?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's interesting, Noel, because the technology that we have lights and we have cameras that are owned by Border Patrol. But I also saw a lot of National Guard, not simply Texas National Guard, although there were a number of them around, but there were National Guard units for other states that have been assigned to Del Rio sector to man observation posts. They have cameras and, vehicles down there that they're able to keep watch on the border. And in a change, they've now put up an aerostat. That's a tethered blimp that flies high above the border. It can see about 200 miles in any direction, and it can watch for what's coming. So the One Big Beautiful Bill, which gave, more than $40 billion to CBP, that's now being implemented. And when you talked about the wall and you talked about the contentious wall, the interesting thing that I saw was a lot of construction, but it wasn't federal government construction. It was state of Texas construction. They are erecting a wall that runs all the way from just outside of Del Rio all the way down to Eagle Pass. And we're talking about a 50-mile area to block off those points along the border that people exploited to come in. It's not that far to the highway. Once you're on the highway, it's easy for the smugglers to pick you up. Again, a wall is not a deterrent, but it is an impediment. It helps Border Patrol do their job a whole lot easier. And Texas is definitely shouldering a load when it comes to that.
So when we look at what is actually happening, let's move from the border to the interior, if you don't mind, for a moment. Have we been able to get our hands around the number of actual deportations that have taken place? It's interesting how the mainstream media handles this subject. There's a number of asterisks, a number of caveats, and they always take the approach to make the administration look like the numbers are less and that they're not doing as much as they claim to be as opposed to what they did under the Biden administration.
Yeah, and you're showing your experience in the spin game that has been going on in this area for a number of years. The Biden administration boosted its, you know, so-called deportation numbers by including a lot of people who were apprehended at the border. Remember, there were 2.2 million apprehensions at the border in FY 2022 alone. And some of those people got turned back, and, you know, they, you know, the Biden administration added those to the numbers. Nobody's coming across the border right now, or a handful, you know, 4,601 people were apprehended in July down there. So, you know, the Trump administration can't do that. What it's actually doing is going into the interior, what we call interior deportations, where ICE finds somebody, locates them, and removes them. So in the first 7 months, I guess it is, under the Trump administration, we've had 200,000 removals from the United States. And the vast majority of those have been those ICE interior removals of people who were living here illegally, mainly criminals. You know, more than two-thirds or about two-thirds of them have either criminal arrests or criminal convictions and have sent them out of the United States. But let me contrast that, Noel, with 2024 under the Biden administration, when there were 47,732 interior removals. That's not a lot. And in fact, that's probably the lowest number outside the Biden administration that we've seen in, again, my 33 years of experience. So, you know, we went from essentially no interior removals, no immigration enforcement within the interior of the United States at all, to a turbocharged thing where we're getting a lot of drunk drivers, domestic abusers, and more serious criminals, murderers, and, you know, child sex offenders off the street and out of the country.
One of the things that the media continues to do, and I want to try and clear this up, by saying that a good portion of the numbers of the folks that have been deported have no criminal record. But they fail to mention that they've already gone through the adjudicative process of immigration and that there's a removal order or a deportation order that's been placed on those individuals. And in large measure, are those not the other numbers that they're talking about that don't have criminal offenses?
Yeah, so when you talk about the people who, you know, don't have arrests, don't have convictions, you're talking about people who have received due process, which, you know, seems to be the talking point of the year, and, you know, who have been found to be removable. Remember, I was an immigration judge. You know, I issued, you know, more than 10,000 removal orders. And, you know, they're finally going out and they're executing those removal orders. That was one of the biggest problems under the Biden administration, was that the sole focus wasn't just on criminals, but on the most serious criminals, to the detriment of removing people who had come illegally, gotten final orders of removal, and been deported. And when you do that, Noel, you make it impossible to actually defend the border, because if you can get in, get here illegally, even if you get put in immigration court, even if you get a final order of removal, you're not actually going anywhere under that Biden regime. And so people, you know, felt free to come in. Who cares if I don't show up for court, because nobody's ever going to do anything? That's changed.
And with that changing, do you think that that's impacted the mindset? Because it seems as though folks are also questioning, and you've done an article on this about this, the curious debate over self-deportation. You entitled your article about it. People just don't believe that folks are doing that.
Yeah, and, you know, this goes to a mindset that exists on both the left and the right. Both sides believe that once any alien comes here illegally or otherwise, they're never going to leave. They'll be here forever. You know, you can go back to, you know, the famine Irish who came here in, you know, 1847 to 1852. And about a third of those people actually ended up returning to Ireland. This isn't a new phenomenon. But one of the things that we've seen under the Trump administration, the second Trump administration, is that the number of aliens illegally present in the United States has dropped by 1.6 million since January the 20th. And again, remember, I mentioned the 200,000 have been deported. We know where they, you know, how they left. It's those other 1.4 million people who have voluntarily left the country. You know, voluntary deportation is the big theme of Kristi Noem, DHS secretary. And a lot of people are getting that message. And interestingly, when you see many of these, you know, Democratic big city mayors and governors talking about how harsh ICE enforcement is, that actually helps the agency because it encourages people to leave the United States on their own without being, you know, put in handcuffs, put in the back of a squad car, and physically removed from the United States. So, yeah, about 1.4 million. But again, you know, it's almost mind-boggling to think that that many people have left. And, you know, there are many people on both the left and the right who, you know, for their own agendas, refuse to accept the fact that's what's happened, but that's what's happened.
And then what's kind of interesting, obviously they're doing this in their own best self-interest, right? Because by doing that, it almost kind of washes away whatever their previous conduct was here and makes them eligible to come back to the country in a legal status, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, imagine that Newell and Art sneak into the United States. We live here for 5 years. You know, we make our money and, you know, we get on an American Airlines flight back to, you know, Cartagena. If we then go to the U.S. consulate in Bogota and we apply for a visa, it's not going to show we were ever here at all. So if you've been here illegally and you do have an opportunity to come back illegally, it's in your best interest to go because, you know, the odds are you're never, you know, your previous illegal presence here is never going to be, you know, found out if you're willing to lie about the fact that you weren't here. And, you know, you have a shot at doing it right. And, you know, Secretary Noem has talked about exactly that phenomenon. If you leave, you know, we will make it possible or we will make it more likely that if you get a visa, you can come back legally. But if we have to deport you, you're not coming back.
Yeah. We know something's going on real quick as well, because remittances to some countries are down in a somewhat significant way, right? And yeah, for the benefit of the audience, if you'd briefly explain what that is.
Sure. Remittances are money that you make in the United States and you send back to your family back home. And that actually hurts our economy because that's money that's flowing out of the U.S. economy. Mexico, on average, about $80 billion in remittances per year. Those are dropping. And we're also seeing the number of, you know, aliens who are in the workforce dropping, and consequently, we're seeing the number of American, native-born Americans who are here and getting jobs increasing. So when you see the unemployment figures, part of the problem is, or part of the issue is, that U.S. citizens are now getting back into the workforce because jobs are open, they're seeking jobs, and, you know, that's raising wages, but it cuts into the amount of money that that aliens can send back home in remittances. If you don't have a job, you can't send money.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew Arthur, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your time and your insight. Love your writing and and if people want to see the article that you're writing about immigration, they go where?
CIS.org. Center for Immigration Studies, again, CIS.org. And I'm right at the top of the list because it's in alphabetical order, not in terms of competence, Noel.
I love it, right? The benefit of having two A's as a first name and a last name. Right? No one's going to trump you, so to speak, right? No pun intended. Thank you so much, sir. We'll be right back, folks.